Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, a show featuring the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Greta Anderson, and I'm excited about today's lineup. A central theme of today's show is Abby Sawyer. Who was Abby Sawyer? Who is Abby Sawyer? Both questions will be answered in today's broadcast. Kathy Hansen from Ames Community School District will be in the studio to give us an update on the schools, including Abby Sawyer Elementary, and she will describe a new spoken word performance program called Sawyer Speaks that was designed by the school and family counselor of Abby Sawyer School and will be launched when the school reopens this August. We'll also check in with Matt Bradner, owner of Ames Home Consulting, who's providing several pairs of boots on the ground in the first annual Rummage Rampage happening this weekend. To start the show, let's check in with Kay Puttock, who conducts our Community Service Appreciation Program. This month's honoree is Central Iowa Provider Primary Healthcare, and today's interview is with Linda Hansen, the director of the Ames branch of this nonprofit agency.
Primary health care provides health care for low-income people and homeless people, and you have clinics in Marshalltown, Ames, and Des Moines. But you're an expert in what happens here in Ames.
That's correct. We're what's called a federally qualified community health center. And so what a FQHC does is it provides comprehensive primary health care to individuals in areas that are traditionally medically underserved. So it came as kind of a surprise to me that Story County was considered a medically underserved area, and that meant that we had a number of people that weren't getting their health care needs met, and that qualified us to apply to the federal government for grant funding to become a federally qualified community health center. Yes, primary health care has medical clinics in Des Moines and Marshalltown and dental clinics in Des Moines and Marshalltown, and then just a year and a half ago, we opened the clinic here in Ames, the Story County Medical Clinic.
And how about dental care here in Ames?
Well, here in Ames, we have a partnership with Story County Dental, which is out at MICA, run by MICA. And so we refer patients who have dental needs primarily to that clinic.
Okay, well, let's talk about the services you provide here in Ames. In addition to a huge array of health services, you provide help with transportation and housing, I believe.
Sure. So what we do is we kind of have a broad view of what healthcare is. And so we provide general family medicine, pediatric care, immunizations, elderly care, obstetrical care. But because of the population that we're primarily serving, which is low-income people, a lot of those individuals may have barriers to healthcare, including transportation. They can't get to their appointment.
Right.
And so we were very fortunate. The Ames United Church of Christ donated the money for us to purchase a brand new van earlier this year. And so we use that van to pick people up who maybe they live in Nevada and they can't get to Ames because they don't have transportation, so they get to their appointment. Or we've made a referral to somebody who has cancer and they need to go to Des Moines to an oncologist, and they have no way to get there. And so we can provide transportation for those appointments. As far as housing, people who are homeless have a very difficult time, as you can imagine, managing their health care. It's very hard to control your diabetes, for example, or look at your diet if you're eating out of a dumpster. And so homelessness or near homelessness, housing insecurity is a huge barrier to being healthy.
Of course.
And so we work with people to apply through CIRHA, which is Central Iowa Regional Housing Authority, to be on Section 8 housing, which is a rental assistance program.
Now that's CIRHA, Central Iowa
Regional Housing Authority. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We'll help them with the paperwork for that. We've gone out and helped people look for apartments with our transportation assistance.
Ah.
And we interact with the emergency residence project for people that are homeless to get them temporarily housed. And then the other thing is that people that come in and say that they're near homeless, that they're in danger of being evicted, if we can prevent evictions rather than wait till somebody has been evicted, that's much easier to manage. Right. And so we have a partnership with Iowa Legal Aid in Des Moines, and they can work with the landlord or work with the client to prevent them from being evicted, try to work out a payment plan or try to work out legal options to being homeless.
Now, you mentioned helping with paperwork, and I know a lot of people have trouble negotiating that, or especially with the Affordable Care Act now, which is relatively new. They might not be able to find the, you know, an insurance plan that they can afford.
Sure.
You
yes.
help them with that kind of thing, too.
Right. We have a benefit specialist. It's a full-time position within our clinic, and she's bilingual in Spanish and English. And that person can help people negotiate insurance options to see if they qualify for the Affordable Care Act during open enrollment period or see if they qualify for Medicaid. And then the other thing is we have a sliding fee scale. And so she can help people see if they qualify based on their income for that. So even if they aren't able to be on insurance, they may qualify for a sliding fee scale, which can be nothing, $0 if you're homeless and at 100% of poverty or below, up to $30 for that.
So it's very affordable.
Very affordable. Mm-hmm. And that's one of our primary missions, is to make healthcare affordable for mm-hmm. everybody.
Have you got any stories about kind of help you've provided, specific stories?
Sure. Very recently, we had a gentleman who was living in a van in our parking lot. And so I came in one day, and he had all this stuff kind of spread out on the ground. He had heard that we wouldn't bother him. And so I went over and talked to him and introduced myself. And he was a little nervous at first. And I was like, I'm going to pick this stuff up. Don't worry. And I was like, no, I just wanted to meet you. And so we established a relationship with him. And then we invited him to come and get his health care needs met. And he had, from living in his van, he had some problems with his skin and skin parasites. And so,
like scabies.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was, but so we arranged for him to go to the emergency residence and be able to shower. And we arranged for him to get some spray to put on the seats of his car so that they wouldn't come back, and arranged for him to get his laundry done so that he didn't really want to not live in his van, because that to him represented freedom, but he wanted to be comfortable.
Of course.
And so we've seen him several times since and are helping him manage several of his other medical conditions. And everybody in the clinic knows him. And so that that feels successful. Even
sure.
Though, yeah.
Yes. That's a terrific story. Yes. Okay. So he's still living in his van. Is he still in your parking lot?
No, he travels around quite a bit.
Okay.
So we see him every 2 or 3 weeks.
Now, why did he have his stuff spread out? Do you know why that?
I think he was sorting it because he gets some of his money from picking up cans.
Oh,
and
I see.
Pay for gas for his van. And so he was sorting it on our sidewalk. And
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the history of your clinic? I believe there's an interesting history here in Ames for the primary health care.
So I think the history of primary health care comes from a couple of sources. For many years, there was a free clinic operating in the Methodist Church here in downtown Ames. And they were open on Thursday nights, and it was kind of first come, first serve. They used, my understanding is, a lot of donated medications and volunteer labor.
Do you mean the physicians and so on would volunteer that
right,
time? Right. Okay.
Yes. And I think it was a wonderful service and a good predecessor to primary health care, trying to meet the needs of people who really couldn't access health care because of money and lack of insurance. The individuals who were involved in starting that were aware that this was not really adequate care. It's really hard to do preventative medicine in that setting because of privacy. And so they were getting sort of bare bones medicine, and that group was aware of that and began saying, we need a better solution. At the same time, the group AMOS, which is a Mid-Iowa Organizing Strategy, had become aware of the lack of prenatal care for uninsured women in our community. And there are a lot of women in our community who are spouses of international students who wouldn't have insurance and so wouldn't be insurable under Medicaid. So that became a concern.
So, in other words, their husbands, their spouses, are insured because, to an extent, because they're students at
Iowa
State. I see.
Right. Yeah. And that remains one of our biggest populations that mm-hmm. we're serving at primary health care. And so AMOS came up with a solution, a temporary solution, which was to provide health care in a bus in the parking lot of Bethesda Lutheran.
I remember that, yes.
Yes, and I think the bus was provided by Broadlands, if I remember correctly. And so they provided prenatal care, but women still had to go for delivery unless they could go through the emergency room. They had to go outside of the county for delivery. Mm-hmm. So those two forces sort of at the same time felt like this, we wanted better for mm-hmm. the residents of Story County. And so they invited primary health care to come to Story County, to Ames. And I took a few tries, I believe. But finally we were grant funded in 2013. We received the grant and opened in January of 2014.
Now, you mentioned integrated care and mental health care. Would you like to say a bit more about those?
We primarily provide family medicine, primary care, but Story County in particular has a real lack of mental health providers. It's pretty difficult to get an appointment, especially if you are uninsured or low income. There's several providers in the area, but often a waiting list to get in. And because of that, we negotiate an agreement with Broadlands. And so we have a provider who comes up once a week on Wednesdays and provides psychiatric nurse practitioner medication management, which is a problem in the area, is getting those meds managed. In addition, we have a behavioral health consultant who's a licensed social worker, and he's available in the clinic 5 days a week when we're open. And so anytime that a patient is seen, and it can be for any problem. It could be for their diabetes, or it could be for a rash, or they came in for an immunization, and we identify that they may have a mental or behavioral health issue. Our behavioral health consultant, Austin, is right there in the clinic, and he can come in and see that patient right away at the same time as that visit.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big advantage. You don't have to make a separate
Correct.
Appointment.
Yeah. Now, you do have to make a separate appointment if it's more advanced medical management mm-hmm. for the nurse practitioner that comes. But often we can help the patient get through that time with our social worker and our family practice providers until they can see a more specialized provider.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And now you mentioned integrative care. Could you say a bit more about that?
So when we're saying integrated care, we're saying that you don't have to make a separate appointment. So if you go to a family practice provider and you were identified as having a behavioral or mental health problem, you would have to have a separate
Right.
referral. But such a large percentage of our patients, when you're struggling like our patients are and you're low income, a lot of them do have mental health or behavioral health issues. And so we want to be able to address that at the time of their visit and not have to have them have a referral and a separate appointment.
Right.
And so that's what the integrated is. We call it a warm handoff. So they're in that same exam room, and it's just very nonchalant. So it's not like we're trying to make mental health services, behavioral health center services just part of your visit and,
right,
and
right.
reduce the stigma that there exists
sure.
about mental health. And
right.
so we'll go get and we'll say, well, we're just going to have you talk with Austin for a minute. And it's just very just part of the visit. It's
mm-hmm.
not like
mm-hmm.
a big deal. You need a referral because
right.
it works
yeah,
very
actually,
well.
That reminds me when I was younger, you know, growing up in England, there wasn't all this emphasis on specialists. The family doctor took care of, you know, everything sort of at the same time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And used to make house calls, too, in those days. So you didn't have
sure.
to drag yourself out of bed when you're sick. Those were the days.
Those days are gone, I think.
Yeah, well,
in
some ways, that's good. In some ways.
Yes.
Okay. Well, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
To make an appointment, they can just call the clinic, and that number is 515-232-0628.
Again?
515-232-0628.
Okay, and the website is?
The website is phciowa.org.
Okay, that's primary healthcare, phciowa.org.
Correct.
Thank and where you. Are you located exactly?
We're at 3510 Lincoln Way, so just to the east of Hy-Vee West in West Ames.
So people can just drop in there too.
You can come in and make an appointment. You're welcome to come in and see the clinic. It's
okay.
brand new and beautiful and remodeled and it's a gorgeous clinic.
Well,
this
is something we're very glad to have here in Ames now. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
And once again, that was Linda Hansen, director of the Ames Office of Primary Health Care, interviewed by Kay Puttock as part of our Community Service Appreciation Program. Every month here at KHOI, we highlight the work of a different nonprofit in our community. If you have a suggestion for an honoree, please let us know. You're listening to Local Talk. I'm your host, Greta Anderson, and our show for our topic for much of the rest of the show is Abby Sawyer. Trust me, this is a multidimensional topic. I've just been joined in the studio by Kathy Hansen, Community and Media Relations for Ames Community School District. Welcome, Kathy.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, and we at Local Talk are really happy to announce that Kathy will be a regular guest on our show, appearing every third Friday to give us updates on Ames schools.
Hopefully I'll be bringing an entourage of really interesting students and staff with me.
Yes, that will be a lot of fun. But it's not the third Friday today, but we're just going to break with a not-established-yet convention and get an update on the schools. We've announced that this segment's topic is Abby Sawyer. So tell us about Abby Sawyer Elementary School.
Well, this is very timely because those of you who live in West Ames might have noticed a lot of activity on that campus. The school has been completely remodeled and is going to open again in August so students can return after their big adventure in the old Edwards building that they dubbed Camp Sawyer.
So last year, the Abby Sawyer School was vacant. It was being reconstructed, and the kids that normally go to Abby Sawyer were going to the old Edwards.
They packed up and moved into the old Edwards and made a real adventure out of it.
Okay, well, what do you mean by that?
Well, they took seriously their nickname, Camp Sawyer, and they carried that theme throughout the year. They would have individual nooks where they could read in tents, and they had camping paraphernalia, and it just helped them focus on roughing it a little bit, but making it a learning adventure. So a little bit later in the program, I'll tell you a little bit of some of the outcomes of that, how it really actually improved learning for those students.
Oh, that's great. So there's going to be a ribbon-cutting ceremony with the reopening of the school.
Yes, that happens August 18th. Be watching our website, the newspaper, and other media outlets for details on that grand opening, ribbon-cutting, and open house. There will be tours for the public, guided tours, so you get to see the features of the building and how they support education.
Oh, great. And all of this happened because of a booming population in Ames, right?
Not so much a booming population. Our enrollment is kind of holding steady. What happened was the buildings were aging, and the space that they were constructed in wasn't really conducive to the way we do education now. So the public actually supported a bond referendum in 2012, and this year Sawyer as a renovated building and Fellows as a rebuilt building are the final two elementary projects that are completed. So we're so excited and so grateful to the public for supporting this. I think that these buildings are literally monuments to the community support for education. So we really want you to come out and see your investment.
Okay, and that's August 18th.
August 18th.
And both of the schools will be showcased that day?
Yes, Fellows and Sawyer will have their grand opening and ribbon cuttings. They're an hour apart, so you'll have time to do both, and we want you to do both.
Okay, and is that a Thursday?
It is a Thursday.
Okay. Well, tell us then about what the kids were learning in their Camp Sawyer experience. What was that all about?
Well, we do education now. We have the teachers have professional learning communities, and that means that, like, if you have two or three sections of third grade, for instance, those teachers have their own group where they share data, they discuss strategies for students, and it's not just one data point, but we call it convergent data, where you'll look at multiple assessments from your standardized tests to your anecdotal formative assessments to benchmarking and other kinds of more formal assessments that may not be standardized. So you look at all those data points and your observation and knowledge of the student, and then you can work together on strategies to recognize that student might need to be challenged and move ahead, or that student might need some deeper
attention to that topic in order to master it. So that's the way we do it now. And Camp Sawyer was just a great place for that because it was an adventure for the students. And it got to incorporate some social emotional learning that we do in the schools now called growth mindset, where we encourage students to understand that life is challenging and that sometimes you fail, but when you fail, you learn. It's okay. And it's called perseverance, and we give them actual strategies to learn how to hang in there when things are tough. We teach them that intelligence isn't necessarily something you're born with, that brains can grow and change, and we help them with that. And they love it. They're so thrilled to see that own growth in themselves.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear that you're doing that in the schools. Well, as far as Abby Sawyer, the historical person, goes, we want to roll her into this mix. I checked in with Alex Pfeiffer at Ames Historical Society next door, and he told me that Abby Sawyer, after whom the school was named, was a well-loved kindergarten teacher in Ames. And she served, in the first half of the 20th century. She retired in 1952 after 35 years of service.
And she was also the principal at Crawford School for 20 years. And as you know, we repurposed that school for administration building, but we were just able to move into a new administration building, and we're hopeful that we will get some interest in that building there on Stanton Avenue.
Yeah, I'm wondering what's going to happen there.
Right.
That will be very interesting to see. And then in this article that Alex sent me, Miss Sawyer, she remained a miss and lived with another miss her whole life, remarked that in the kindergarten, the big job is to blend the individual into a group without harming the individuality of the student, a process that requires many years of training on the part of staff. And it sounds like that's really what your staff are attempting to do, really recognize that each child based on a kind of holistic assessment.
Exactly. And even more than that, we have in the elementary schools a format called responsive classroom, where the teachers actually learn how to use common vocabulary, equip the students with figuring out what rules they can construct for their own behavior so they can own it, and then have the tools they need to build community and relate to each other throughout the day. So Ms. Sawyer was prescient in that way. Those ideas still hold true, and we're working really hard to make sure students have their individuality expressed and understand their contribution and responsibility in community.
Well, speaking of expressing individuality, you have there's an exciting program that you've told me a little about, called Sawyer Speaks, that's going to be piloted this year in the new Abby Sawyer School. Tell me about this program.
We have tremendous school and family counselors in our schools, and one of them, who's actually, I call her a rock star, her name is Riley Drake, and she's instrumental at Sawyer at making that learning community really cohesive and making room for every student to fit in and get their needs met. So she discovered a need for students who might come from different backgrounds, cultures, and circumstances that somehow don't quite fit in or get their cultural expression or their personal expression incorporated into the learning environment or the school community. So she went to Des Moines and found out about a program where you can workshop spoken word performance and give the students a chance to speak their truth and express their truth and give them permission to say things that they might not always feel like they have to say. So it's not so much that we are imposing a cross-cultural program on the students for the sake of diversity. We are really giving them a chance to express it to us and learn from them and give them a chance to learn a craft, a performance craft, to speak their truth.
That's so interesting. So sort of rhymes and hip-hop and rhythm? Is that some of the
I'm sure techniques? They'll use all of those poetic devices. So I haven't seen all of the synopsis of the workshop, but more than 30 students have signed up, and they will be actually sharing and performing their work later in the year.
Oh, that's neat.
And I'd like to have some of them on the show at various points.
Oh, what a great idea.
So they can say what they're learning, and we can kind of follow their progress in this.
Oh, that's something to look forward to. Yeah, I mean, that whole genre of performance is something that has definitely, it's kind of attracted people from the majority community, the white community, mm-hmm. as well as folks in the African-American community where it originated.
We see this as a real opportunity to embed, even in our teaching practices, strategies that speak to students, because learning is holistic. You can have good instruction, but if what you're saying doesn't speak to that student and arouse a response in them, the learning is going to be less fully dimensional. So we really want to figure out ways and learn from the students how we can embed those practices in the learning environment.
Yeah, they could rap about the solar system. They could rap about anything that they're learning.
Right. And when you talk about a common vocabulary, we need to learn what speaks to them.
Right.
And they'll teach us.
Oh, that's so interesting. And it'll give people an opportunity to experiment and a two-way learning experience.
Right.
Well, it's like I said, it's not the third Friday. It's going to be 3 weeks before you come back. But those are going to be some pretty busy weeks for you at Ames Community School District, Kathy Hansen.
Yes. Well, we in the administration have felt like we've been living in August for several months.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to live in the present when you're planning so hard for the next school year, but we're very excited. In fact, our superintendent, Dr. Tim Taylor, gave me some talking points for a staff newsletter that's going to go out. And our priorities for this year are to really focus in. We have a roadmap based on our education plan, which has four questions that guide our work. What do we want students to learn? How will we know when they've learned it? What will we do when they've mastered it to challenge them? And what will we do if they haven't learned it to make sure that they do master it? So that guides all of our work, from finances to the board to facilities to teaching and learning. So we're going to hone in on the process that the professional learning communities use and implement that with integrity so that everybody's consistent district-wide, and we know we're going to achieve results. For example, I told you about Sawyer. For the second year in a row, Sawyer has shown remarkable growth on its standardized test, which is the Iowa assessment, and then all the other convergent data that we see as well. So we are going to actually take a long-term approach to define for ourselves as a district what success is so that we can stand firm against the political trends and the things that the external mandates that can derail us and make us take our focus off what we need to do. When we know what success is and how we're going to measure it, we can stand firm.
Wow, that's a very a very noble goal, to create your own standards in a way.
But speaking of, coming into August with welcoming staff back, we have an administrative retreat next week. The third week, the teachers will come back for their workshop days. We'll have a big staff kickoff and pep rally. We have a pep rally every year for the staff coming back. And watch your our website, and if you are a parent, you'll get an infinite campus message with your back-to-school dates for your building so that you have it all in one spot. There's a lot of moving parts, but we want to make sure that you're ready. We're excited to welcome everybody back. Everybody's in a fully renovated elementary school. Your administrators are in a new building. The middle school and the high school are very excited for the learning environment that they have put in place for this year. So we're real excited to welcome everybody back.
Okay. Well, that's Kathy Hansen from the Ames Community School District. And thanks for coming by.
Mountains here. There's a whole lot of people, grown up kind, strangers talking the grocery line in our land of mine. Whole lot of people doing what's right, whole lot of people living their life in our land of mine. People say, why would you stay?
And that was a song by a Des Moines band that will be performing at Roosevelt Summer Sundays this coming Sunday at 7 p.m. In fact, our engineering team will be recording that concert in the park and broadcasting it here on August 10th at 9 p.m. The Americana folk music will have a whole hour of it on our radio. Here is the band's leader describing that song.
Our love of Iowa and all the things that Iowa is, even though we don't have mountains.
And that band leader that I spoke to is named Abby Sawyer. And her band is called Abby and the Sawyers. So I just had to dive right in and ask her about her name and her origins in Ames, Iowa.
I was born at Mary Greeley, and I lived in Ames until I was about four. So both my parents went to Iowa State, and I still feel that connection to Ames. And coincidentally, and there's no actual tie, but my name, Abby Sawyer, is spelled the exact same as the elementary school in Ames. And people ask me all the time if it's named after me, which it's not. But that is a funny coincidence. That makes my tie to Ames seem even bigger than it actually is.
Well, you yourself have named your band Abby and the Sawyers. Tell me about that.
Yes. Well, so my name is Abby Sawyer, but I'm the only Sawyer in the band. We named it Abby and the Sawyers several years ago, right as the band was forming, and we were about to play at Camp Euphoria Music Festival in Lone Tree, Iowa. And we thought it would be a temporary amalgamation of music making. We didn't think that the band would be a band still. It would just kind of come together for that festival. And we went through so many different names, and Abby and the Sawyers when I was doing very informal audience polling, was one of the only ones that people could remember after hearing it one time. So we just went with that. So I guess I'll always be in the band, and then as we add members going forward, it just leaves a little bit of flexibility to do that.
Some folk bands actually play a saw as an instrument.
Maybe that will be our next instrument addition.
A washboard, a saw.
Spoons, absolutely.
And is your father at all involved in the band? I know that he sings.
Yes. So my father, Tom Sawyer, is he's involved on the periphery with the band for all media coverage, doing video photography work, and then he also recorded on our upcoming album as a harmonica player on a few tracks. And he's also just a very strong band advocate, advisor, a cheerleader, and supporter. So he's kind of like the mascot for our band.
So he will be there Sunday evening as well.
He should be fresh off of Ragbri up there at the show.
Ooh, I'm not sure about how fresh he'll be.
Yeah, not fresh at all, but he'll be rolling off of Ragbri.
Okay, and do you suppose you're going to rope him into doing any numbers with you?
You know, I think we'd be fools not to. So as long as he brings his harmonica, we're going to pull him up.
Okay, well, that would earn you the title Abby and the Sawyers, certainly.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the upcoming recording. Is it complete?
Yes. So we are in the stage where we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's with album art and listening to the final mastered tracks to make sure everything is good to go. And then it'll go to print, and we'll have them in our hot little hands. I don't think they'll be ready by Sunday, but it will be yet probably late summer that we'll have a release party.
Uh-huh. And maybe you'll have a sign-up list, an interest list on Sunday that people could express their interest in knowing about it when it comes out.
So we'll have a paper list, but then we also have a landing page online called Abby Sawyer Music, and it's ABBIESAWYERmusic.com, and the whole page is just a newsletter sign up so that we can blast out updates on albums and shows coming up. So
great.
That'd be a great place to go too.
Yeah, okay, we'll link to that on our website as well for both broadcasts, this one and the one that we do August 10th. Tell me about yourself as a musician. What instrument do you play, and when did you get started? How did you get started?
Yeah, I play acoustic guitar, and that has been my main instrument with this group and my main songwriting tool besides my iPhone and singing. And how did I get started? I got started with music very young, under the influence of both of my parents, who are very musical and have musical families. I did my first solo in the Grace United Methodist Church in Des Moines when I was in second grade. And then ever since, I've been in choirs, in church, and school. And I joined my first band that performed out in clubs after I graduated from the University of Iowa. And that band was a soul group called the Diplomats of Solid Sound. And I toured regionally, and I did one international stint with them and had a great time performing soul music. And then my next group was called Bermuda Report, and that was more alternative rock, indie rock. And then after that, I started Abby and the Sawyers, and that grew out of wanting to have a place to express all of these songs that I had been writing over the years and performing with my other bands, but then I kept writing and kept writing, and they all kind of fit together in an Americana folk-type sound and lent themselves to the instrumentation of that we have currently. And it just so happened that the people that I met right around that time of forming the band were interested in playing that kind of music, so it all just came together as it needed. I played my first solo show as myself at the Figge Art Museum in Davenport in May of 2013, and that was the beginning of Abby and the Sawyers. So then I added my husband, Chris, on guitar and vocals, and then Lauren Ditzler on banjo and vocals, and then Alex Clemens on the stand-up bass. So we've been a four-piece now for about a year and a half, and we're really excited to release this album.
Well, it sounds like you've got an honorary Sawyer there with your husband, and also you have somebody in your band with the last name of Clemens. That's got to count for something.
Yes, meaning?
Your father, Tom Sawyer, Samuel Clemens, was the creator of Tom Sawyer, so, you know.
Oh, right. I didn't make the leap, but I'm glad that you did for me. Thank you. It's funny how things get connected.
Well, it's so nice to talk to you and find out about Abby Sawyer. What do you do in your day-to-day life?
Yes, in my day-to-day life, I assist my husband with his chiropractic and rehabilitation clinic in the East Village of Des Moines called Capital Chiropractic and Rehabilitation Center. And then I also am a project manager at the Greater Des Moines Partnership. So I am
a busy gal.
Yeah, there's a lot of great things going on in central Iowa, and I'm happy to be in the middle of all of it.
Okay, so we'll see you Sunday evening at 7 p.m. over at Roosevelt Park in Ames. You'll be there with your four-piece band, possibly your father as well, playing Americana and folk.
Definitely. We're really looking forward to it, and we're so glad to have been asked to join the series.
Also, for those of you who just tuned in, we will be broadcasting that set on August 10th here on our radio station, KHOI Community Radio. Bye-bye, Abby.
Bye. Thank you.
Again, that was Abby Sawyer of Abby and the Sawyers, a woman who spent her first 4 years of life in Ames. And I believe we have finally exhausted the topic of the show, Abby Sawyer. The broadcast of that show is part of KHOI's summer sessions, and we have a summer session broadcast coming up this week. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. But right now, we have on the line a guest who is getting ready for a big day, preparing for the Rummage Rampage. The Rummage Rampage, this is the first annual Rummage Rampage happening in Ames. We are a community that has a large transient population, and that means lots of furniture gets left behind every August 1st when people change out their apartments, move out of town, and we've finally figured a way, we think, to deal with that. So on the phone is Matt Bradner. Matt, are you there?
I am.
Hi, and Matt, you're over at the Ames Intermodal Facility on Hayward Avenue right now. The Ames Intermodal Facility is where all of the furniture is going to get dropped off that people like you are running around town picking up today?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it looks like we should have quite the number of pickups here today. So
lots of trucks are gathered there.
I was going to say, we certainly have a full crew out here that should be spending probably about every minute they have here today, it looks like, kind of running through the list and getting those items over to the ramp there.
How many trucks are you putting toward this effort?
Certainly throughout the whole day, we will have a full truck and trailer system that we have running around town. We do have another one on hand, certainly as needed, and it sounds like there are a few other folks from the community that might be able to lend a hand as well if needed.
Okay, because you have a business in hauling and disposal called Iowa Home Consulting.
Yep, kind of a general contracting company. We do have a kind of an arm of that business that is dedicated to just this type of work, so it seems fitting that we'd help out as we could, certainly.
So when you got there this morning, they gave you a list of all the places that you have to go to pick up furniture?
Yep, all over town.
And have you been keeping your eye out kind of as you drive around at the stuff that you see on the curb there?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely that time of year where the piles seem to be growing.
And this was an initiative that came out of the sustainability program of Ames and Iowa State. We have a regular visit by Mary Rankin, who serves both entities, the city and the university, you know, to keep all that stuff out of the landfill. Obviously, it's going to help folks who really don't want to have to spend a lot of money on furniture. And it's also going to help the organizations that the volunteers represent. Are you there representing a volunteer organization or just your business?
Sure. So we are operating as business. Certainly, any of the proceeds that we would generate through any pickup fees or anything like that will all go to a local nonprofit. We're certainly in it to help out as we can, no doubt about that.
Here at KHOI, we've got a few people signed up to help with the sale, and so we're going to be benefiting from the rummage rampage ourselves. So the deal is that all of this furniture gets picked up. Some people have already, you know, a lot of people have phoned in to the Volunteer Center of Ames saying, oh, I've got furniture. And then you guys bring it over to the Ames Intermodal Facility, which has a roof. So if it rains, we're okay.
Sure.
And then this furniture gets sold at prices incredibly reasonable. And then all of that money that's collected is going to be divided up amongst the volunteer agencies, the nonprofit agencies that pitched in to help with this cause.
Sure, and I was going to say, from our perspective as well, being in the kind of the world of doing some hauling, it is always kind of a shame this time of year to see how many really decent items end up in the waste stream, if you will. So it's nice to have a program like this that hopefully something that can continue in the future as well and divert some of those items and maybe help some people out in the process to find some great bargains.
It's a real win-win solution to that problem. I know I have a lot of friends who do dumpster diving and they kind of go a little nuts, you know, at this time of the year. It's like they have a standing appointment with August 1st. You know, they will not do anything but search out for the choicest items that students and so forth are leaving behind.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible what people will throw away this time of year.
So this is a way for the wealth to be spread out and not just hoarded by my dumpster diver friends, which is a good thing for them as well. Okay, well, Matt, it sounds like you've got a busy day ahead of you, physically challenging day maybe ahead of you.
Sure.
What part of town are you going to be circling around? What's on your list there?
It encompasses just about every part of town, whether we're running out west or up to the northern parts of the town. It looks like that might be where some of our starting areas here, but we'll be everywhere today. There's no doubt about that.
Okay, well, if you see a guy with a truck and a trailer and a big load of furniture, that might just be Matt Bradner from Iowa Home Consulting, who is helping out in a big way with this rummage rampage this weekend. Thanks so much, Matt, for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Have a good day.
You as well.
I shouldn't mention the time of the sale. All of the furniture is going to be gathered today, Friday and Saturday morning, and then I think around Saturday at noon is when the sale opens. You can go over and check out the furniture, see if there's anything that fits that nook in your house that you haven't been able to find something for. And it continues this Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, the furniture sale. So I would say probably you want to get there early, get them shot at the best stuff at the Ames Intermodal Facility, which is right there on Hayward, south of Lincoln Way. One other thing that's going on this weekend is a zine-making party sponsored and hosted by Little Woods Herbs and Tea, our neighbor now, our new neighbor here in the East Main Street area, I guess you could say. It's just down at the end of Douglas. It's a new tea shop, but Kristen Roach, who's been doing zines for a long time, is hosting a zine making party. So it looks like there'll be a lot of scraps of interesting papers and images and words. And you can go there 11 to 4 on Sunday and get some scissors out and start pasting things together and making interesting combinations of things. It's called a Zine-onomicon. So thanks, Kristen, for putting that on, and looks like something worth checking out. One other thing to check out will be on Wednesday at 9 p.m. That will be our summer sessions featuring the Iowa School of Jazz. And we're going to cue up some of their music right now. The Iowa School of Jazz is made up of students of Albiella's Iowa School of Music who get together. They're high school students, young, on the young side, 14, 15, and they put on a wonderful concert at Roosevelt on July 3rd, I believe it was. Jonah, our engineer, was there. He was capturing the sound. And we are really excited about being able to showcase that performance at 9 o'clock on this coming Wednesday. It's the summer sessions on KHOI. We're going to be featuring Iowa School of Jazz, along with some clips from the teacher, Albiella, about the song. So maybe you'll get a little bit of jazz education along with the music. Let's listen right now to what the Iowa School of Jazz has for us. We'll use that as our music bed for the outro.
Our next song is Autumn Leaves, featuring Dominic McDonald on the drums.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I've been your host, Greta Anderson. We started out the show with two Hansons, Linda Hansen, the Director of Primary Healthcare, as part of our Community Service Appreciation Program, and Kathy Hansen, the Public Relations Officer for the Ames Community School District. A reminder that after today, Kathy will be coming every third Friday to talk about what's going on in our schools. We also heard from Abby Sawyer, whose band Abby and the Sawyers will play this Sunday at Roosevelt. KHOI will record that concert and broadcast it August 10th at 9 p.m. Finally, we looked forward to this weekend's Rummage Rampage with a conversation with Matt Bradner, owner of an Ames hauling firm that's putting its trucks and personnel to the task of bringing furniture to the Ames Intermodal Facility. Local Talk will be rebroadcast at noon and 7 p.m. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. Thanks to webmaster Ron Carson for making that possible. Local Talk was engineered by Jonah DeGeest. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Ain't No Mountains Here by Abby and the Sawyers, available on their Bandcamp site. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio. Thank you.
Funding for KHOI is made possible in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. In the heart of Ames, the Ames Main Street Farmers Market brings local food and fun. Located between the 300 and 400 blocks of Main Street, including Tom Evans Plaza, the Farmers Market provides fresh local fruits, veggies, meats, breads, handcrafted goods, live music, and family entertainment every Saturday.